this morning. And, you know, we saw it on a large scale in Nepal and in India. And there were thousands of people sitting out on the ground. And you know, they rolled out the red carpet for us. They put us under a tent. They made sure we had chairs. They just served us with such great love. You know, and prosperity and wealth, you know, and abundance in this life has nothing to do with it in the material world. You know, those things are necessary, food and clothing. You know, the word says, be content with such things as you have, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. You know, the greatest riches that any of us could have are knowing in our hearts that it's God and Christ in us, and that God is real. And so many people don't know or don't understand that. And, you know, for all my adult life, I've been doing this. You know, where we do these home fellowships. We're connected to fellowships all over the world. We're not just some little, you know, group in a corner that's sitting in, you know, Donnie and Patty's living room. But, you know, to have the perspective of wonderful individuals, you know, wonderful believers all over the world. You know, there were people with us there from Europe, many young adults, which, you know, sometimes, you know, I say I'm just a big kid. I like hanging out with the young adults especially. But the reason we do the home fellowships, and that is their pattern there in those places where we sat and there were a thousand people out there, a sea of people praising God, giving testimonies, healed of things like AIDS, healed of cancer, healed of so many, many, many things. It was just phenomenal how God was working in individuals trusting him who may have only known maybe one verse of scripture or whatever. And so, but the norm there, those were just exceptional fellowships where everybody came from all the many fellowships. But the point of it is, that's how they did it in the book of Acts. That's how we pattern what we do after the book of Acts, because we want to do it God's way. You know, God gave his word to us so that we have a standard and a check and a balance, which is a standard of excellence. And like it's been said several times this morning, we are royal. We are God's masterpiece is created unto those good works through what Christ has accomplished for us. I wanted to look at a few verses in the Bible. I've been studying a subject that I'm just so thrilled about, and I'll just share a few things real briefly. You can just listen, or you can look it up if you like, and I'll read it on my phone. This goes way back, you know, back in the day, the book of Deuteronomy. This is chapter 30. Verse 19, you can just listen, I'm just going to read one verse. It says, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you. That's not the part I want to look at. That I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, both thou and that both thou and thy seed may live. So we have always had a choice, and choice is something that we're all faced with every day, no matter what our background, no matter what our genetics, no matter where we came from, no matter, you know, what you think or believe or look like, or, you know, whatever ethnicity or, did I say that right? Is that a word?
Yes.
Ethnicity. That was better. You know, it doesn't matter what our background is. What matters right here and now is that God meets us right here where we're at, and every single second. Every single second, life is a choice. You know, and our whole body, our whole mind, our whole, every part of us that, you know, body, soul, and spirit, it functions out of those compilations of choices that we've made, the depth of the word that we can build in our heart. Like if you know one verse of scripture and you drive it into your soul, and then you got the Spirit of God working in you, how powerful, how wonderful. I mean, if you'd never been taught that you were seated in the heavenlies, you know, that you're an heir with Jesus Christ, that he gave his life for you, that he is the Son of God who accomplished for you this incredible grace, not by works of righteousness, but by his grace alone. If you'd never been taught that from the Word of God, then how much would you be lacking? How much would you... You see what I'm saying? So there's a balance between walking by the Spirit and there's a balance between learning the Word. So the subject I'm talking about that I've been studying that has been very exciting to me is the renewed mind. You know, where we put the word on, and it's like it hits your head. You know, you start to put the word of God on in the brain. You renew your mind, and it sifts down into your heart of hearts here, where faith comes from. The depth of the soul is classroom, and then it emanates out from the essence of your life. It's like you write the word on the table of your heart, and then out of that proceeds health, blessings, prosperity, all the things that you would desire. And there's so many things we could look at. I think about how important it is. One function of growing and developing in this renewed mind is to speak the positive, to choose. You know, choose life, life or death. Let's choose life. And let's choose the positive. Let's choose power. It's not about knowing tons and tons of scripture. It's about the choice you make. You choose to believe God. You choose to trust Him. To trust Him means that you rely upon Him with your whole heart and soul and mind. And you expect Him to work in not only the situation, but to work in you, to show you things, and to enliven you, to give you that power and that strength. We are wired because we're God's children. We are wired for power. We are wired for love. We're wired for positive results. We're wired as royalty. God made us this way. So I'll share one little cool tidbit I've learned. I've been studying this Carolyn Leaf stuff, and Greg turned me on to this stuff a couple years ago, Switch on Your Brain by Dr. Carolyn Leaf. It's just renewed mind things, but it's like science catching up with the things that are written in God's Word from aforetime. I mean, thousands of years ago, God told us it's all about choice. You're going to choose life or you're going to choose death. You're going to choose to trust me and love me, or you're going to choose to be negative, whining, grumpy, and miserable. So all of life boils down to a choice. And attitude is a lot of, you know, what goes with this. But the thought process, there are 400 billion actions that the brain takes in a split second to make a decision or to make a choice. Now, the devil is banking on the fact that it's called the law of probability. He knows that you are wired for power. He knows that you are wired to be more than a conqueror, that you are God's child. He knows this already. Gotta be aware of him. He's out there. You know, we don't be afraid. See, fear is the thing he throws at us. That's the thing that sabotages us and our results. So he knows you're wired like this. So what you have to do is realize that this is all a smokescreen. He wants to sabotage your results because your brain is wired such that in a split second you'll choose life, power, health, results, prosperity, blessing. Or in a split second with those 400 billion factors happening in the brain, you choose to bite the dust with the fear that he puts in front of you. You know, all through the Bible it tells us not to be afraid. That God continually tells us. You know, you get a bad report from the doctor, what's the first thing that anybody out there is going to, you know, you're going to get nervous or anxious or fearful, right? That's just human nature. The human condition, this flesh. And so what we have to do is we have to take it back, like 2 Corinthians 10 talks about. Casting down imaginations and everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and lead captive every thought to the obedience of what? Christ. Which simply means, that's just a lot of words that mean, the devil tries to capture your thoughts, but what you have to do is lead captive every thought. You bring it captive to the obedience of Christ. And like, you can turn on a dime with your brain in a split second, change your mind, get completely altered, and amazing, wonderful results. But sometimes it takes time to build a good habit pattern in your brain. It's like, okay, I've determined never again to make a negative confession or to, you know, be negative or fearful again. And then the first thing that comes along tomorrow that, you know, would be a stumbling block to you, cause you to, you know, go over the edge, right? Or to choose death instead of life. You know, to walk in love. It's a choice every second of the day. You know, somebody irritates you. It's a choice to walk in love or just to shake it off, shake the dust off your feet, choose the word. You know, everything is a choice. To cast down imaginations. How did something become an imagination? you thought about it, you had a thought, and then kept thinking about it, and before you know it, you got yourself picturing this thing that's negative and dark and gloomy and causing you to have great fear and then causing you to have horrible results in your life. You know, you have the power, you have the capability to control this and to decide in your heart to choose life. I know that this is Old Testament. I know we're not under the Old Testament law, but the principle is the same. Choice. You write the word on the table of your heart, you choose life, you get the results. So, you know, the power of life and death is in the tongue. Keep your words, choice, positive, what the word and the solution to your problem is, not what the problem is. Don't pray the problem, oh God, help me because I'm so screwed up because I've got this, you know, horrible situation. No, you pray, thank you, God. Thank you that I am your child. I give you praise. I give you honor. I worship you. I love you no matter what it looks like, no matter what it feels like, no matter how much it hurts. You know, all of us are challenged daily, more than any of us know, with so many things that we have to choose life and not death. So, pray for one another. Each of us are unique members in the body of Christ, as well as we're sharing. That's another factor that came out in some of this study. Did you ever wonder how you're unique, or what is your calling, or what, you know, do you have a gift to the body of Christ, or a ministry, or something that this way, you know you've got this with God, you know you have this relationship, but going this way, you know, horizontally with God. Who are you? You know, if you're not living who you are, if you're not doing what you are, you know, you're miserable, right? And your job doesn't define you. You know, where you work doesn't define you. Oh, well, I am a, you know, car painter. Is Donnie a car painter? He's a son of God with power. He's a man of God with a gift ministry in the body of Christ and has operated it for years. Each one of us is unique. And she explains in this book how the way that each one of us is so particularly fabulous and unique is there are seven pillars of activity going on in the brain, and every single thought that hits your brain and that goes through all those cycles, and I talked about those 400 billion actions in the brain, what makes you unique is the way that your brain thinks. No one thinks like you. No one. You know, you've always heard you're special. You've always heard you're unique. You've always heard all this stuff about yourself. Well, that's what makes you unique is how you think, how that hits your brain, how, you know, you know God showed you to do something and it happens in a flash, but you got talked out of it because of fear. Or, you know you hurt somebody's feelings, you know, and you knew you did the wrong thing, you chose the wrong thing, you chose death instead of life in that situation. So, you know, God shows you this stuff, but the thing is, we're so distracted because we're so busy, we're so out there, you know, with technology and texting and doing all this stuff, like Wallace was saying, there's no Facebook thing that's going to make you whole in Christ. You know, you might have 1,000 friends on Facebook, but who are they really to you? Are they really your friends? Do they speak in tongues for you every day? Do they pray perfectly for your healing? Do they picture you whole and powerful and seated in the heavenlies? You know, these are the types of things that, you know, we're concerned about, at least should be all of us and all around the world, these wonderful believers that we've all had the privilege and the humbling honor to sit in their presence and to be a part of this incredible grace that we're all connected. We're all connected, but we're all different. You know, and you celebrate my uniqueness. Don't you trash me. Don't you dare gossip about me, because I'm not going to do that about you. You should celebrate how awesome I am. Like, I'm going to celebrate how awesome you are. That's what it means to be individuals, members in particular, in the body of Christ. Each of us is special. There's no competition at all. It's complementary. That's how God wired the body of Christ. Did he not make the body of the human to work in absolute perfection? Dr. Hurd? Isn't that something?
Yes.
You know, it's perfect the way God made the body. You know, and there's a short circuit somewhere and something screws up somewhere, then, you know, it's not God's will. It's not God's desire, and it certainly wasn't, you know, in the implementation of God. It has something to do with living in an imperfect world. There's a devil out there. But the word says, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. The devil, right? Mm-hmm. Choose life. Choose it always. You know, power of life and death is in the tongue. Don't let that situation beat you. If someone has cancer, they've got to fight for their healing. It's available. You know, you speak to it. You tell that cancer, go. Every knee has to bow at the name of Jesus Christ. I have a friend in Florida. I just came from there. I had lunch with her. Her name is Misty. I had supper with her and her boyfriend, Johnny. And her brother-in-law has cancer. And she knows that all she has to do is get him to fight for his fight, just speak to it, to tell it to go in the name of Jesus Christ. And she's been doing that. And, you know, we've seen a lot of people who have been delivered of these types of diseases. And, you know, great or small, big or little, you know, fears, emotional disturbances, all these types of things, great or small, you know, fear is fear is fear. To you, to somebody else, it might seem stupid. You know, if I have a problem or a hurt in my soul, you might think I'm really, you know, annoying because of it. Well, you know, you may not have walked in the same shoes I've walked in. You know, we've got to walk in great love, like what Greg was saying. You know, we welcome everyone into the body of Christ. Maybe they've never heard or heard enough to believe. You know, we don't judge. We walk in love. And we try to build people with who they are in Christ, that they are seated, that they are powerful, that they do have the capability. You know, and then if they do want to learn more, then, you know, we can teach them that. But I think just to remember that we are able and we can tap into that power. You know, the same power that got Jesus Christ up from the dead is resident within each and every one of us. You know, it says in Romans 8:11 that the same power that got him up from the dead resides, lives, is in every part of your body to quicken and make your body alive. Not dead, but alive. It might take a minute for the healing. It's okay. He meets us where we're at. You know, one last thing I'll share. When we were in Nepal, I broke my toe, and I can't even begin to tell you how excruciating the pain was. And if it hadn't been for a couple of the Indian ladies, I think I might have just, you know, I don't know what, I might have self-combusted. It was really, they think it's so stupid. It's a small little thing. It's a toe. But it hurt really bad. And I, you know, here I am, I'm having the best time of my life. We're doing all this stuff. We're going places, doing things. And it's all about healing. And I'm gimping around like I can barely walk. It's like, okay, and these wonderful ladies ministered to me, and, you know, I didn't do anything about my toe. And I just gave it to God, and I re-injured my toe. And I came back here to the United States, and, you know, it took me a while to, you know, get past some of this in my head and to kind of to work through it in my brain, and that's okay. God met me where I was at. You know, I looked up some information. I went to a chiropractor friend who x-rayed it, and he x-rayed it again 3 weeks later. He's like, oh, you're healing fantastic. It looks amazing. You know, because I didn't wrap it. That's what I should have done. You know, I was trying to believe God. Okay, well, so I was dumb. I needed a little extra help. I needed to wrap the toe. Now it's doing fantastic. But, you know, I think sometimes we look back on those types of things, how long it's taking and how we're aggravated during the process or whatever. It's okay. You know, we just give it a minute. We have need of patience that after we've done the will of God, we're going to receive the promise, like it says in Hebrews. So, all right.